The following podcast is intended for listeners over the age of 18. It contains mature subjects and adult discussion. Listener discretion is advised. As we are not doctors or psychologists, all advice is for novelty purposes only. All advice and discussion comes from our own personal experiences. Yours may well be different.
Welcome to the Swing Set. Climb on up. There's always a swing available. On Life on the Swing Set, the podcast, we explore open relationships and swinging. The pleasures and passions, the promise and pitfalls. We discuss all aspects of swinging in a fun, open, and welcoming fashion with a gleam in our eye, a bounce in our step, our hand down your pants. Ooh, sorry, got ahead of myself. We may be biased. In fact, we most certainly are. But we don't sugarcoat, and each of us speaks honestly and earnestly about our thoughts, ideas, and experiences throughout our very own lives on the swing set. Thanks for swinging by.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Life on the Swing Set, the podcast. Tonight, we are going to be talking about blurring the lines from polyamory to swinging, how non-monogamy comes together. We're going to be looking at the two camps, swinging and polyamory, and how each camp has their little snipes at each other, but inherently they're more similar than different. And rather than trying to fight amongst each other, we ought to look at these similarities and realize that we're all just trying to eke out an existence that thumbs its nose at thousands of years of marital tradition, no matter how you slice it. I'm Cooper. And tonight with me we have...
This is Ginger.
And we got Dylan right here.
I'm Shira.
This is TBK with thebeautifulkind.com.
Okay, now before we get started here, I want to throw out two definitions. And this is just for the sake of discussion tonight. We don't proclaim that we know the ultimate definitions on either of these words, and I'm sure there'd be a lot of debate over everything we're saying tonight. But for tonight's discussion, the definition of swingers is going to be a couple having sex with others, usually together, but not always. And the definition of polyamory is going to be more than one loving relationship simultaneously. And before this show, when we were talking, there was already some heated debate over whether or not that was accurate. Dylan had a problem with that definition.
I wouldn't say I had a problem. I just, to me, when you say polyamory is more than one loving relationship simultaneously, it sounds to me like you're almost defining polygamy, where I have more than one relationship, separate relationship with a couple people, or at least that's kind of what I perceive there. It seems like a better definition for polyamory might be having a loving relationship with more than one person. Just kind of rearranging the words in that. What do you think?
So you're looking at a triumvirate of people, then?
Maybe I'm being too exclusionary. Maybe it can be both. I'm not entirely sure.
Polygamy, the only reason polygamy has such a negative connotation is because the adoption of it by, you know, those sects in the Mormon church. It's not that polygamy itself, the multiple marriage, plural marriage, is much different from an extension of polyamory. It's that version of polygamy is what gives us the negative connotation.
Sure.
I would agree with that. I think that there is a connotation in that context that is very, anti-feminist, I guess, is the best way to put it. That, you know, the male is the head of the household, and I think in that case is the savior of their souls, if I'm not mistaken. But, I can't really speak to that. But that the women are lesser in that relationship, whereas I think generally in polygamy, but more so certainly in polyamory, it's more about equality. That every person in those in that relationship, depending on how many people, it doesn't really matter. They're all equal partners in that relationship.
Well, that's a good distinction to make.
As a polyamorous person, I can sort of attest to the fact that people within the polyamorous community are really sensitive to how you word that definition. There's a lot of other groups of people that generally we don't like to be lumped in with, though I do think a lot of that's sort of nonsense. I personally, as a polyamorous person, I think that my definition is having the capacity to love more than one person. And it's really simple as that. And we're talking about a romantic love rather than a friendship or best friend type of love.
Mm, I like that.
Just for the sake of this again, we know Dylan and Ginger and I are swingers, and Shira is a polyamorous. TBK, how would you define yourself?
I am non-monogamous, and I have a primary partner, and he refers to me as his number one. So I wonder where that fits in with this whole everyone is equal thing, because we do, we don't call the people we play with and have dates with secondary partners, but we definitely put ourselves on a priority level as each other's number one primary.
So you're kind of somewhere in the middle too, between swinging and polyamory.
Yeah, I feel like my sex life has a lot to do with my website, because we don't go looking for people, but we've been having the website for 3 or 4 years now, and people come to us and we make relationships online over a course of months, and then we meet people in real life, and then we have a wonderful romantic weekend with them, and then they go back to their town, and it comes and goes and ebbs and flows, and sometimes it's one woman, sometimes it's a couple. It's just very fluid. And so I don't know. I don't know if I'm polyamorous, and I guess I'm a swinger, but it's just, we're definitely non-monogamous and definitely think outside the cage.
Well, and that's kind of what we're going for with this whole discussion, is that the definition on either side is sort of less important than the idea that we are non-monogamous in general, the swinging, the polyamory. It's basically varying sides of the same spectrum.
So TBK, do you feel like you're on a journey to find something, or do you feel like you have something that works for you already?
Oh, we're definitely where we need to be. We have something that works for us, so we're not seeking a triad, we're not seeking a family of it's just very odd. It's hard to say, but we really have people that we love for a weekend. We love them and they're a part of our lives, and we court them that weekend, and then they go away, and then we might not talk to them for 2 weeks, but then when we connect with them again on the phone, it's just a very loving, once we make that deep connection with them and share that intimacy in a bedroom setting, and just we immerse ourselves in other people's lives for 48 hours, it's this beautiful gift that just kind of spreads everywhere, and then they share the love with their people, and it just keeps flowing like that.
I think that's wonderful, TBK. And also, you were talking about having a hierarchy where your primary partner is definitely your primary partner. I think I see that all the time in the poly community. There is sort of a hierarchy. Often, even though people are non-monogamous, they still need sort of a stable home base. And you see that in swingers, and you see that in polyamorous people and non-monogamous people. You kind of need that one person to build your life around, that person that is your home. And while you could have new partners that become just as significant, you still kind of have that one person that's going to be home for you.
Right. And one thing that I think that poly and swinging has in common for sure is that both are based in open and honest relationships, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And one of the things I was noticing under Cooper's definition of swinging, if you go by Cooper's definition of swinging, which is
quit referring to it as Cooper's definition of swinging.
I like it. Well, because it's a particular definition. Everyone kind of has their own rendition of things. Cooper's definition of swinging kind of lumps in all non-monogamy, if you think about it. When you say people having sex with other people, even when they're in a relationship with their partner's consent, that kind of lumps in everything.
This is where I say, aha, aha, see, that's right.
But then that also goes on to what the whole labeling system and what people actually want to call themselves and the stigma behind words like swinging.
You know, that's fascinating, thinking about the, you know, where do we put ourselves, like where we started the conversation, because although that is certainly where Prof and I started, was the idea of swinging and looking at just having, you know, a friends with benefits sort of relationship with a woman that then turned into something more, moving into our swinging community locally. And through that process, we've discovered that we are deep within the gray area between swinging and polyamory, because we're actually at the place where we know, I mean, if I go by your definition, Shira, of, you know, having the capacity to love more than one person at a time, we know that we have that capacity and, you know, are kind of, you know, in that talking, discussing, figuring out what makes sense for us in perhaps pursuing that, not now given life circumstance, but in the future. But we know we have that capacity. And a lot of relationships that we have with our swinger friends are not your typical swinger relationships. If you have a conversation with, you know, someone at a club, there's a lot more emotional connection there a lot of times.
I think that gray area exists on both sides of the spectrum. For example, as a polyamorous person, I do like the NSA casual sex aspect of things occasionally. Not everything has to be about this deep, intense, romantic, you know, turmoil. Sometimes it can just be about the sex as well, and that's just as nice.
I still find polyamory really interesting. It's not out of the realm of possibility that, you know, I would want to explore that at some later date. I just enjoy having you guys talk about it a little more. This, you know, you're the first polyamorous we've had on, and this is interesting to me.
I'm glad that I'm here. You guys need more poly voice around here. I think
I am sitting here, give you face forward, and very interested.
Well, let me address something with this polyamory discussion. Is both pretty much everyone here, all the swingers here, Dylan, Ginger, and myself, and TBK, all seem to have this sort of amalgamated version of swinging that is part poly as well. You know, we're looking for friendships, we are looking for connection, we are looking for relationships, and I mean, really, one of the cornerstones of swinging, if you look at old school swinging, is that you're supposed to remain uninvolved. It's supposed to be sex for sex's sake. And the moment you you start to feel a connection, that's indicating that you're too involved and that you ought to break it off. And this is something that's still espoused on a number of major swing sites, and a lot of people who are, you know, hardcore swingers right now firmly believe that if you feel anything but sexual attraction for these people, then you are somehow violating your marriage bond, or you're running the risk of wandering over into the cheating realm and having that issue where, what if my partner falls in love with someone else?
God, that's fascinating that being in love is cheating for swingers. That's crazy to me. but you have that on the poly side too. I mean, I've been involved in numerous online communities for polyamorous people where if you even vaguely hint to the fact that you're interested in sex on a more casual basis, then you are branded with the S word and cast out of the community. It's really a ridiculous line that's drawn in the sand.
Huh. Interesting. Branded with the S word. Wow.
One thing that I want to bring up as my poly challenge is I feel like I have the capacity to love more than one person. And like I said, I do that and I dip in and out of it. But there's just no possible way that either myself or my primary partner can devote as much time and energy needed to really do that person right with a relationship. For instance, he and I both have children. We both have these full-time jobs, and we both really check in with each other several times a day. We are making sure all of our emotional and physical needs are met like mad. And I really worry about if we tried to add someone into it or make a triad, that we would not give them all of the attention that they deserve. I would worry that their physical and emotional needs would not be met. Maybe they might have a primary partner that could fulfill most of it, but that's the challenge. It's really, I mean, I feel like there's a commitment there where you need to check in with someone several times a day. When you're caring for someone as one of your partners, you have to really care about what's going on in their day. So what do you think about that?
I can totally relate to that, and I find it fascinating that that is one of the books that I recommend and love is Opening Up by Tristan Taramino, which is just a fantastic primer on the non-monogamous, consensually non-monogamous lifestyle. One of the chapters, I guess it is, that gave me a real chuckle was the idea of literally having to just be a good time manager. You literally have to be able to spread yourself a little bit thinner to do just that and do justice to those relationships. And I have felt that in just the, you know, one relationship in particular that Prof and I had that, you know, really did start to, again, go into that gray area, and we were loving it, but having a very full life as well, both of us, we found that to be a struggle. And that is one of my, that's one thing I would ask Shira certainly is, you know, what is your experience with that? Because that is a big question mark for me.
Oh, TBK has totally been singing the ballad of my life. Recently, I actually wrote an article on Life on the Swing Site called The Big Poly Secret, The Creplet Famine.
And Kidder Caper was impressed that we scooped them on his own theory.
Indeed, Kidder Caper has brought this idea to the forefront, really. Kidder coined this term, well, not so much coined the term, but brought this term of creplets, which is a unit of time, energy, and love. And in contrast, while love itself by its own self is not a finite resource, creplets really are. I mean, the time and energy part of things is really something that needs to be addressed in a polyamorous relationship. TBK, you said that your full life, you both have jobs, you have children, you have a lot of things that you have to bring into the spectrum when you're considering a relationship with someone. It's absolutely a true thing. Right now, I have, I guess, I'm going on 2.5, almost 3 months now with a new relationship. And it's probably the most serious, extramarital relationship that I've had. I have a new boyfriend, and I find that I am constantly strapped for creplets. And, you know, I can see it's really causing some stresses. It's causing stresses in my work life. It's probably causing stresses in my own personal time. I don't take personal time anymore because I'm giving time to my own children. I have kids as well, TBK. I'm giving time to my kids, and I'm giving time to two men who actually are both currently, I'm their only partner. And it becomes an actual issue of something that needs to be addressed. And I really admire that Kidder is actually bringing a voice to that.
I kind of feel, and this is maybe weird to hear, but it's almost like making the decision to adopt a dog. Dogs are such important animals that deserve a companionship and a lot of attention. And I honestly would not adopt a dog because I don't think it would be fair to the dog. That's why I wouldn't want to find another person to add to our relationship, because I don't think it would be fair to them, because I have a poly couple that lives in town that people really like, and they just added a third a few months ago, and they're doing really well with it. And they've been wanting to start their own website or blog talking about their adventures and their lifestyle, and they keep not doing it. And they keep not doing it. People keep asking, when are you going to start your website? And so I finally decided that you have to choose. You either get to have a blog or a website, or you get to be polyamorous. That's what I think, because I'm doing my website. I'm posting 5 times a week and so forth, but I do not have time for that extra person or try it, and they have the reverse going on. And so I'd like to know the person who's got a really thriving website and multiple relationships.
And see, that's why we don't have kids.
I wish I had subscribed to this newsletter earlier. I feel like, Tonya and I have been doing a little looking lately and a little bit of toe-tipping lately, but we haven't been very active swingers in the last 6 months or so, and a large part of that has been, I guess, a shortage of creplets. And I like this term. It's a real easy way of saying, it's not that I don't have time, it's not that I don't have the will to want to do something, it's just, there's that kind of mental work, whether it's a little bit of mental attention and love you want to give to somebody, or actual time or some combination of that. It's just, I've had time, but I've had so little mental time, and I feel like I haven't been, I wouldn't be able to devote as much of myself that I have been before and that I'd want to say being with a new couple. And so we want to search out new couples right now, but we have been in a bit of a holding pattern recently, and I guess being low on creplets would be a good reason why.
Okay, well, Life on the Swing Set has to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about the inherent idea behind both of these, the myth of the one or the one single soulmate, and how that can be influential and damaging. So we'll be right back. Life on the Swing Set, the podcast.
You're listening to Life on the Swing Set, a podcast by and for the sexually open. We remind you that all advice and opinions on our show are products of our individual experiences in the lifestyle and should in no way be taken as anything more than commentary. Your mileage will most certainly vary. If you'd like to reach us for advice, to ask a question, or to leave a comment, email us at contact@lifeontheswingset.com or leave us a voicemail at 573-55-SWING. That's 573-557-9464. As always, thanks for listening. Now back to our show.
Welcome back to Life on the Swing Set, the podcast. Tonight we're talking about blurring the lines from polyamory to swinging and how non-monogamy comes together. And yes, that is a play on words.
Terrible on this one. Sorry, Cooper.
Gives me the kiff sighs. Kiff sighs all around. So I'm Cooper, and with me is Ginger, Dylan, Shira, and TBK. So right now we are talking about the myth of the one, you know, that we have, that everybody is supposed to have this one person, their soulmate, that will fulfill all their needs for the rest of their lives. This is the cornerstone of the entire marriage. I'm going to call it an industry because it seems more corporate these days than actual, you know, reasoning behind it. And really, I think all of us would say the same thing, that we don't believe that there is even the possibility that one person can serve all our needs romantically, physically, for the rest of our lives. And it just is an interesting dynamic because it goes one way with the polyamorous and it goes another way with the swingers. But we're really very similar in the middle there.
As a person who's actually, I'm pretty sure I've been polyamorous my whole life. When I was about 16 years old, I didn't have the word polyamorous, of course, but I did know that I wanted to date. I had this whole 1950s idea of going steady with one person, and I just hadn't found that person yet. And so I was going to date all sorts of people. And so I had three different boys that I had to date, and I was really happy. But in the back of my head, it's like, you have to pick one. You have to pick one. You know, you must pick one if you don't really love them unless you pick one. And I kind of, you know, drew myself into that rut. And, you know, when you're 16, of course, the relationships don't mean anything, but eventually you whittle them down and you agonize and you pick one because you think that's what society, you know, that's what society tells you that you have to do.
That's exactly right. And it's fascinating to see that that is really one of, I mean, it doesn't work then. I mean, even when you are trying on relationships for size as a young person and, you know, you're doing the dating thing for the first time, I mean, there's still that, you know, oh, I want to date this person and I want to date that person. You might start dating someone before you break up with the other, even as a teenager, even as a young person. And so we do talk ourselves into this. Oh, it'll work eventually. If I just practice more, if I just reel myself in a little more, if I just stop looking and being turned on by these other people, or intrigued socially and emotionally by these other people, I'll get it right. I'll do it eventually.
We try to cram ourselves into this box, this monogamous box. And, you know, for some people that'll work just fine. But we see in marriage after marriage how the hope that this person is your soulmate does not equate to this person being your soulmate. The desire for this person to fulfill all your needs does not equate to them actually fulfilling all your needs, which is the reasoning behind cheating or even the wanderlust in general. It's something we feel simply because this person cannot fulfill all our needs.
Yeah, I tested myself to see how long I could be monogamous, and I think my limit is 1 year. And
excellent.
I went through so many relationships where I felt like there was something wrong with me because I kept disappointing the men I was with. They just always loved that I brought my girlfriends home to them so that they could play with them. But whenever I asked about one of their friends, then I had to go and throw a wrench in things and ruin everything. And it was always a big train wreck, and it happened over and over again. So I thought, I guess relationships aren't for me after all. You know, I'm going to have to just go do my thing. So it was so nice to finally meet some man who realizes that I like to be with men and women. And he and I have such a wonderful understanding and dynamic that just the other night, he's a white guy, and one of my little turn-ons is black men. And he cannot give me black men in his own self, but he has a friend, and he brings the friend home. And then we had an amazing, wonderful MFM, male, female, male evening that was just planned that day, and it happened. And there I got my big black cock, and everyone was super happy, especially me. And it was just so nice for a change.
Oh, I'm super happy hearing that story.
What you're saying, TBK, is that no matter how much fantasy you put on it, your man does not have a big black cock.
Right. He said, even if I paint it black, it's still not big black cock.
You know, I have resigned myself to not having a big black cock. Being able to pronounce it. Now that...
And you know what?
You know what? I have 34B breasts, and I am not, that's not good for Russian sex, titty fucking. And so.
Is that Russian sex?
Yeah, it's called Russian sex.
And so I have friends who are all really well endowed there. And so he gets to do that with them. And it's just so great that he can't do that with me, but he can do it with others and enjoy it. And it's, I just love that. I love that we have that versatility. And
now, I want to talk real quick, because TBK, I've been following you for a while. I've been reading The Beautiful Kind, and you have this wonderful dynamic that you talk about with you and your man. Mm-hmm. And I found it very fascinating when you wrote that article about your sudden influx of jealousy.
Yeah.
And I'd like you to talk about that for a moment, because that's really something we haven't discussed yet tonight, because jealousy has the same issues on both sides here for polyamory and swinging, and it can damage 100% can damage both versions. So TBK, give us your thoughts on jealousy.
Oh gosh, it's such a complicated thing. But basically, our relationship for the most part has zero jealousy, in that we both are so comfortable with each other doing our own thing, because we're so open and honest with it, that we can go on dates with other people. We can go. I've flown out of town to meet a couple from online that I'd never met before in real life, with his blessing, and had a wonderful weekend, and just everything's on the up and up. And so there's so many evenings where he's out with somebody and I can sleep at night and I feel peaceful about it. And he'll text me pictures of the date as it goes along. And it's just a very warm, nice thing. When years ago, I used to get the butterflies. I used to not be able to sleep. I used to really need to be checked in on. And so it's just been a nice evolving of the relationship. So it was a huge shock to me one time recently when he went out with a friend of ours, a female friend, and they ended up having this crazy knockdown, drag out sexual encounter on the bar at closing time. And he wasn't expecting it.
Which you can
it,
read about at thebeautifulkind.com.
Yeah, it was called, I think it was called Fourth Meal Goddess. And so it was just so shocking to me, because it threw me off guard. And this woman is a good friend of both of ours, and she is such an amazing goddess herself. And I had this insecure attack that I wrote a post called My Jealous Freakout that went through the whole process. It's really hard to explain. And I wonder about why she triggered that, why that situation did that, when we've done countless other different combinations and so forth. And really what it is that she's just such a beautiful woman inside and out that I felt like I really, really met my match. Whereas a lot of other people are from out of town, or they're not relationship material, or any number of things that make it much more easy to consider them as play partners and not somebody that would be a serious contender. And I feel uncomfortable speaking in those terms, but I'm just trying to abbreviate this kind of long emotional something. So what happened was I was pretty freaked out the next day and was able to talk with him about my feelings. And I was a little nervous to be vulnerable and open up to him, because that would, of course, expose me for being human. Like usually we are king and queen, and we're God and goddess, and we're just doing our thing and enjoying it. And to me, insecurity interferes with pleasure. And I don't like that one bit, because I'm not going to worry about cellulite. I'm not going to worry about different things, because that doesn't mean anything. When you can just open up and feel love and pleasure, it's just so much better way to be. So when I got struck by that sort of jealousy virus to me, then it was just really crazy.
It is a virus, isn't it?
Feels like it.
Yes, it can be catching, I guess. I don't know. So, but then the thing of it is that within 24 hours, my jealous freakout was resolved, thanks to his patience and kindness and understanding, and the fact that he is just really loyal and understood my feelings for what they were. He was just really patient, and he's a great man, and I trust him, and it worked out fine.
So communication saved that problem, it sounds like.
Yeah, definitely. And it was really beautiful the way everyone was so mature about the whole thing, that it lasted 24 hours like a flu instead of going on for weeks like some sort of chronic illness. So that is so important. Maturity is very sexy.
You know, we've heard both yeah. good stories and bad stories here, you know, both from people that have been here and just by association. And it seems like almost all the good stories end with, and then we talked about it, and then it was okay. And we keep saying that, like, from day one, we said communication, talking about it. But it's like, every time I hear this, I just keep thinking, yeah, it's so good to be able to talk to somebody and not feel like you have to be somebody else, or you have to walk on eggshells, because you've gotten all these issues out of the way if you're already, you know, a swinger or a polyamorous or
exactly,
yeah, anyone
Dylan.
Else.
I feel like, do you feel like there's, I mean, I guess the way I think of it is there's more posturing in other types of relationships. I think that's that complete pretense of having that self-protection of, you know, leaving one layer of, I don't know, like I said, self-protection or privacy or something, where you're not letting your partner into your deepest fantasies. You're not letting your partner into your, you know, most primal and raw sexual instincts. You're not.
Yeah, because if you did, it would be wrong. I mean, exactly. You know, if you're supposed to say, no, honey, you're the most beautiful woman in the world, and I would never want to be with anybody else. You're expected to lie to your partner as a man, and if you're lying to your partner or somebody that's supposed to be your partner, it's not really a partnership at that point. It's something different, and it's not necessarily something that that I want to be a part of anymore.
And Ginger has brought up this point before, but when you don't feel that, when you don't feel that instinctual jealousy, you start to really go into the cycle of, oh, why am I not feeling this way? And when I find the right one, then will I be jealous? Then will it be okay? Will right. I feel like there's something at risk if I really love this person?
You know what? I was in a triad a couple of years ago with two awesome people, and I was having jealous freakouts with them all the time. And there's a lot of reasons for that, but basically she was kind of a dominant personality, and I like being queen bee, and there wasn't that we had any cat fights or anything like that, but you know, we both wanted that number one spot, and it didn't work, and it was constantly a struggle, and I really feel like I was not with the right people, and the dynamic wasn't right. And so with this guy, who I feel I have a much better connection with, and I'm very deeply in love with, and I don't have those feelings, I think that the more compatible you are and the more in love you are, the from my experience, the more rewarding it's going to be and the less of those feelings you're going to have, because I really honestly feel like the guy that I'm with accepts me for who I am. We've had some deep, dark nights where we've really opened up to each other about all kinds of things, and wow. I mean, you know, like everyone's got those things, and a lot of people don't even tap in that deep. And so we've done that, and it's just made us really appreciate each other more and made us more comfortable with, I mean, who cares about an extra 5 pounds when you're dealing with really deep, dark right. stuff?
Right. And with that too, I feel like it's that, you know, the famous poly word of compersion, and that idea of finding pleasure in watching your partner experience pleasure, whether, you know, it's you or anyone else, and that it's okay. I think of that in terms of, you know, when I look at Prof, I love him beyond jealousy, in the sense that if he isn't happy with me, if I'm not one of the people who should be in his orbit for whatever reason, because we're not a match, and even if we evolve to the point where we're no longer a match, then I want him to make a break and go be happy. I want him to make that move to be a fulfilled, happy human being. And I would be willing to sacrifice that. And so I feel like that is kind of, you know, the base of that lack of jealousy, because there's nothing to be jealous of. Because if he truly wanted to make a break, then it would be the best thing for him, because I know he would have thought it through, and it would be something we've actually talked about from the very start, and he would do that, and it would be the best thing for both of us. But, you know, not that I would ever imagine that that would happen, but I'm at the place where I would let him fly away if that needed to be the case, you know, because I love him so deeply.
Ginger, you blew my mind.
Oh. Really?
No, seriously, you get just those words together, because I mean, I'm even being polyamorous, I'm still prone to my own, you know, jealousy fits, and like thinking about it that way, where you want that person to have the best and most successful life for themselves, and that is what absolves your jealousy. That's so beautiful.
And also, you know, Ginger, you brought up opening up the Tristan Taramino book earlier. In that book, she said something that really, I read that early on in our explorations, and in that book, she talks about how the answer to the question of what happens if my partner falls in love with someone else, the answer right. to that question should be your relationship then evolves.
Yes, I agree.
And it's... I think it's only when we put it in black and white terms, like if someone cheats, then the relationship's over.
Right.
If you know, if we're looking at other people, then the relationship's over.
Absolutely.
That's when we run into problems. And so that can happen even in the swing community, in the poly community. Just as I said, how you know, if in swinging, if you start to fall in love with someone, you're supposed to end it. The problem with making something black and white is that's what sends up the flares and causes the real problems. If you acknowledge that everything is an evolving situation and you just will see where it goes and see where you can steer it, that kind of opens you up to, you know, a more relaxed and less panicky future, I think.
Sure. And Cooper, along with that, I think that is one thing that, you know, in the vanilla world, people have this perception that I don't care whether it's swingers or polyamorists or whomever, anyone who's practicing consensual non-monogamy is somehow at greater risk of their partner moving on to a different partner. You know, we're all at risk of our partners moving on to other partners. We're all human. We all should have the capacity to find our own happiness. But just because we acknowledge that openness and are supportive of that and have honest, open communication with our partners puts us at no more risk of our partners falling in love with and moving on with another person than anyone in a monogamous relationship. In fact, we watch it happen all the time.
Yep.
I would actually argue that you're in less a risk, because if your partner has the freedom to explore their urges and explore other variety in their lives, there's far less reason for them
to
cheat.
I totally agree, because they're getting their emotional and physical needs met.
Exactly. I feel like when I'm talking to people, and you know, I feel like I evangelize. You know, I was just thinking about this.
We are the swinger evangelist, Dylan. You know that.
I feel like it. You know, even though we've been not outright meeting other people too much lately, we've been talking more and more about what it feels like to be swingers. And I think one of the big points that we touch on are how we've changed how we talk to each other, and I think I might have to add a little bit of, well, you know what, if you can try things out in the comfort of your relationship as opposed to going and sneaking off or not fulfilling that and you know, wondering what if for the rest of your life, I think that things would probably turn out better. And I think that just adds to the list of reasons why you should at least open up a little bit or at least start thinking about things, you know?
I was talking to Kidder about this, and we, you know, he said cheaters cheat. And that's true, because cheating in relationships is so often has nothing to do with the sex or even the emotion. It's the desire for something different. But cheaters still cheat in swinging relationships. I do hear about swing relationships where, you know, despite the fact that they can get all they want and all they have to do is ask, they go out of their way to go behind the back and cheat.
And I don't know if even the word is cheaters want something different. Cheaters want something illicit. I think that they're out there to
get
something
true too.
Different entirely. Not just different, but different and wrong and something dirty. Because I've been in that situation. I've had partners cheat on me, even as a polyamorous person. I'm saying, go, please, go, find new people. Grow as a person. Love and have sex. Do whatever it is you want. You know, they still need that illicit part of cheating.
You know, people are still surprised when I mentioned that even though our marriage was good before, it's definitely better after. It's like, oh, that helped things? Whoa, how does that work? That's usually the big conversation starter.
When I know it, swinging helped our marriage, because our marriage was falling apart with the desire to fuck other people.
Mm-hmm.
And both of us had that very strong desire, and both of us were keeping that desire from each other, which has one destination, and that destination is cheating.
Mm-hmm.
But luckily, we talked about it, realized we both have the same desire, and thought, well, there are a few things we can do that would allow us to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And once we took away that issue, the I wonder what it's like to fuck other people, because that's really the issue there, was it improved everything. Once we could talk about that, because that was a big scary, you know, going through almost divorce and talking about that, mm-hmm. and talking about how, you know, this is not working for either of us. That's a huge, scary discussion. And once you did that, nothing else is nearly that scary. You know, I want to go fuck this person over here. That's not that scary. And she can say yes or she can say no. We have that ability.
Aha, Cooper, I found it. I found the point where you defer between swinging polyamory, because you say it's about who are you going to fuck. For me, it's here's this other person and I want them in my life. And it's way bigger than that. So I do think there are the differing points between swinging and polyamory.
Oh, I would never suggest they're the same thing.
They're just similar things.
They're very similar, though. Yeah.
Well, certainly one thing in common is the concept of negotiating, you know, proactively negotiating a relationship. Whether that means that you are, you know, in Cooper's case saying, hey, I want to go fuck her. Great. Marilyn says, go for it. And that's that. Or Shira is saying, you know, I want to add this other person to our, you know, loving long-term relationship. You're still having to have a very in-depth negotiation with your partner where you're managing this complexity and you really are opening the scenario up to a lot more moving parts.
Oh yeah.
So that is something to consider. I mean, you know, I hear you guys about the evangelism. I mean, trust me, I would love to be, you know, wide open and out with how Prof and I negotiate our relationship. But at this point, we're not. Someday we'd love to be. But certainly if friends who know us knew, you know, saw behind the curtain, they would just be boggled, because there is that constant negotiation, because I think for a lot of monogamous couples, that negotiation ends as soon as someone proposes to the other and they decide to get married. Because now, you know, it's all set in stone. Someone has decided for us what this is supposed to look like. And now we have to just fit, you know, fit that paradigm. So it's done. It's done. It's over with.
And it's an inundation of every bit of media in this country is saying specifically that once you get married, you can't look at anyone else or it's horrible. Every sitcom there is
had
that episode where the schlubby guy with the hot wife looks at another girl and then has to, by the end of the episode, recant and decide that he doesn't ever need to look at anyone other than his wife ever again.
Well, and isn't that what a bachelor and bachelorette party are for? It's to, you know, sow your oats for the very last time because your libido is going to die a slow, painful death once you walk down the aisle.
It's basically a little swinger party. It's what vanillas do to be like us.
And if we're talking about sitcoms, I mean, if you think about reality TV too, you have The Bachelor and The Bachelorette where they're sitting there training people to be polyamorous. They're sitting there training them to love more than one person at once and then just breaking their hearts. It's absolutely disgusting for me to watch. I can't even bear
absolutely.
It.
Explain that, because I've only watched a couple of the episodes, but I never really... Oh, okay, I guess I can see it a little bit.
Well, they're supposed to fall in love with a bunch of them at once, right? And then narrow it down at the end to one?
Absolutely. Well, you know, the one true one will be the one that wins, right?
Oh my God, I feel so sorry for the guy and the gal that are put on the spot then.
They're making lots of money and whoring themselves for television. Don't
feel
sorry for them.
But they're not
going
to be happy while the money.
But they're not going to. They're not going to stay married either. Are you kidding?
That's true. They've all have divorced, and they can do whatever the hell they want.
You can pity them.
We just need to put a poly contestant plant on one of those shows who, during production says, "I'll take him and him and him, and we're going to live here, and it's going to be awesome."
Well, so let's actually talk about that, because that's one of the major differences between swinging and poly is sort of end game.
Yes, the blue sky scenarios. The blue sky for the poly person, and what's the blue sky for the swinger?
So blue sky for a swinger is pretty simple. Fuck people until you can't fuck people anymore. And hopefully build a whole lot of fun, awesome relationships until then.
Yes, build a community that you can all live in.
Yeah.
And all fucking each
other.
Oh,
yes, it's sort of a Sunset
distance.
Years swinger community with hot tubs everywhere.
Sun City Swinger Town or something. That would be fantastic.
That is my end game. Shiro, talk about your end game for me.
Well, so I find that a lot of polyamorous people actually do have the same end goal as swingers. They just want to be able to have multiple relationships and kind of move forward on a more casual basis. You know, being able to date and enjoy, maybe not casual as an NSA one night stands. And I guess for people who don't know, NSA is no strings attached. But there's also...
Not the National Security Agency.
There's also a whole other gambit of people within the poly community who have different blue sky scenarios. Personally, my blue sky scenarios involves, you know, maybe a multi-relationship home, and that's another article I'm working on right now, but actually living with another partner and perhaps figuring out how that can work into my life as well. Maybe for some people, they're interested in having more than one husband and not in a weird, you know, polygamy type religion way. And I'm not just saying just the Mormons either. There's a lot of religions out there that believe that sort of thing, but maybe more in a multi-family threes company sort of way. And there's
come
even
and knock
people
on
out
my door.
There there's even people out there who are interested in having children with more than one partner simultaneously in one home. And there's all sorts of different scenarios that work for different people in different ways. We have the unicorn polys, the people who are out there looking for that one person who's going to fit into their lives perfectly, and they're going to be the one person that loves both of the existing people in the relationship already, and they'll fit in and they'll procreate and keep house and whatever it is that needs to happen. And then
I like how both of our communities have unicorns.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And then there's the whole other spectrum where there's poly people that just want to date new people occasionally and need something a little bit different and aren't anywhere near interested in things like cohabitating, co-parenting, or anything long run like that. They just want to have someone to go have a nice Saturday night with.
I want to share a thought with you because, I have a very positive opinion and a very positive feel about polyamory. Like I said, it's very interesting to me to the point where I may want to try it someday. You know, I don't feel like I'm there yet, but you brought up co-parenting, and that actually kind of scares me.
Oh, does it?
Yeah, well, I like my son being my son, and to let the, you know, I have enough problems pushing my parents out of the parental role with my son because grandparents, you know, always could do that kind of thing. And I don't know how I feel. Well, no, I'm pretty sure I know how I feel about sharing that, and I just don't think I'd want to share that. So I feel like until I'm no longer an active parent to a child or a teenager. Well, maybe just a child. I mean, teenager.
Well, let's take it this way. Okay. Would you date a single mother?
I would love to.
Okay. Well, so take it from that step. Imagine if you were dating a single mother and you were single yourself. You'd be in a pretty similar situation where suddenly you become a parental figure for a child. Whether you mean to or not, you're there dating the mother. You become this parental figure. So I imagine that co-parenting beyond that point where you say, okay, there's this established relationship and children within the established relationship. If a additional relationship progresses to a point where all people are happy and all people want to bring a new life into the world, I think that's beautiful. I don't think that it's for everyone, and I hope lots of people are just as scared as you are, Dylan. I hope everyone goes through, oh my God, is this okay? Because I think that it needs to really be thought through, but I don't see anything wrong with it on a fundamental level.
I would like to tell you my blue skies. A few years ago, it used to be my dream was to have a husband and a wife, and we all lived together, and I spent one night in one bed and one night in the other bed, and, you know, so forth. And since then, it's changed so much. Now I don't even want a husband, and I love having separate houses with my partner, and I love that we play with people every couple weeks or so or have mini relationships with people. But the thing that is my blue sky is the reconnection. That is the hottest thing.
Oh, that's nice.
Okay. Excellent. So this has been Life on the Swing Set, the podcast. We've been talking about polyamory and swinging and wondering why the hell aren't we all in this together? Why is it always us and them? Why not us against the vanillas? You know, because they're the ones condemning us and thinking horrible things about us when we're really not bad people.
No, remember, they don't think horrible things about us. They say horrible things about us. They think...
They
want
to be us.
They want to be us. Right on, Cooper.
Yeah, because they're all just jealous. That's really what we've always learned.
I think we're going to get there, Cooper. I think we have the LGBT community right now, and pretty soon we'll have the SOP community. We'll have the swinger open polyamory community out there making a movement. I think between 10 and 20 years, we'll totally be there. And, and then it will be SOP, right? Standard operating
procedure. That's right. I was waiting for that. I saw that comment. I see what you did there.
Excellent.
I love it.
Everybody, if you want to communicate with us, you can do that on our Facebook page at facebook.com/theswingset, or you can follow us on Twitter at swingsetlife. You can always email us contact@lifeontheswingset.com. And hey, there's our phone number. And we had a voicemail not too long ago that was really cool. And if you want to leave a voicemail for us complaining about our perhaps narrow definitions of poly and swinging because you do things differently or because we got it all wrong, you go right ahead and leave us a voicemail, 573-55-SWING. That's 573-557-9464. We would love to hear orgasms from people. And if you want to leave us a voicemail of hot, sexy action, we will put that on the end of our podcast. Thanks, everybody. I am Cooper, and we've had a great time here with Ginger and Dylan and Shira and TBK.
Thank you.
And next week, we will be talking about anal sex, double penetration, and swinging. Thanks for swinging by.
Now it's time for Coming on the Swing Set. This time, it's The Beautiful Kind and Beast. Oh, God.